That's quite long reading. Well done for joining me with that. So, the prophet Isaiah predicts that someone will come in the desert calling men and women to prepare the way for the Lord. With the benefit of hindsight, we know that Isaiah was foretelling the role of John the Baptist. And our reading earlier from Mark referred to the prophecy and describes the role John played. Why, we may ask, are this and so many other prophecies foretelling the future included in the Bible? How can reading such prophecies help us in our walk of faith today? Especially the prophecies that have already been fulfilled. Well, it seems to me that as well as pointing to John the Baptist, Isaiah's prophecy tells us a couple of things about the nature of God and his relationship with us. And this is as relevant to us today as it has been to every generation of believers who have ever read the prophecy. First, then, this prophecy of Isaiah, the one we've just read together, that's the one I'm talking about. First, it tells us of God's great love for his people. As we read together, listen how the prophecy starts. It said, didn't it? "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for." If the term Jerusalem is a synonym for God's people, then we who follow Jesus are the Jerusalem of today. And the passage tells us that God wishes to comfort us and speak tenderly to us. God uses prophecy throughout the Bible to express his great love for his people, which is indeed good news for today's Bible readers, just as it's been for readers throughout history. Now, secondly, the prophecy reminds us of God's power. Do you remember it said, "Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together." Now, this is what could be called picture language. It may be that in the future, every mountain shall literally be made low and so on. I don't know. But if we accept that mountains are great big things that get in our way and valleys can be places where we get bogged down and so on, then these words paint a picture for us that God has the power to make the going easier for us. God has the power to ease our discomfort, no matter what form our discomfort takes, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual. Now, God knows that when we come across prophecies, we naturally wonder when they're going to be fulfilled. And our reading contained God's answer, his perspective on that question. It said, "Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of our God endures forever." So we might not live to see prophecies fulfilled, but we can be assured that what God has said will happen. His word endures forever. The fulfillment of all prophecy will come in God's time. And the passage closes with more encouragement for us. Do you remember it said, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." This is the sort of picture Jesus painted, isn't it? And we can be assured that our Almighty God will tend his people like a shepherd. He will carry you and me close to his heart. And I hope you find that encouraging. The lectionary provides a second prophecy for us to look at, this time from the New Testament. But before we look at that, so this passage from Peter's letter then contains the second prophecy we're looking at today. Isaiah's prophecy about John the Baptist was fulfilled 2,000 years ago, but in contrast, Peter's prophecy is not yet fulfilled. Just like the ancient Jews waiting to know who the person calling in the wilderness would be, we must wait to discover the real meaning of what Peter has foretold. How long must we wait? Well, Peter reminds us of God's perspective when in the passage he wrote, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Peter's prophecy was made 2,000 years ago, and we are still waiting for it to be fulfilled. Does this mean God is being slow? I don't think so. Picking up on Peter's words, what are 2,000 years to God? But God's word endures forever. What he has said will happen, will happen. The fulfillment of Peter's prophecy will come in God's good time. Now, let's be clear about what the prophecy is. The passage says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So this is all in the future. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And then he goes on, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. I don't know about you, but this is all beyond my imagination. Why is this in the Bible? Does God really expect us to grapple with ideas such as elements melting? What has this got to do with life in Milton Keynes in 2023? And there's another thing. Is this destruction going to be dealt out by our loving Father, this shepherd who carries us close to his heart? Well, the answer, I believe, is that we do not always have to grapple with the exact meaning of what is described in a prophecy. It is enough for us to draw strength from God. And to remain assured that he has the power to bring all evil and all wrongdoing to an end in whatever way he chooses. And as for the paradox that the destruction foretold will be brought about by our loving Father, we can rely on God's justice. Not all people, the Bible tells us, will see the new heaven and the new earth referred to by Peter. But everyone has the opportunity to ask for forgiveness and accept Jesus into their lives. The promise is that those of us who follow Jesus most certainly will see the new heaven and the new earth. And what about living in Milton Keynes in 2023? What does the prophecy say about that? Well, Peter writes, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. And he also wrote, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. So in conclusion then, like all believers before us, we don't have to struggle trying to understand the prophecies in the Bible. But we shouldn't ignore them, for they give good news about how God wants to relate to us. As I've said, firstly, prophecies show God's great love for us, and we can take hope from that. And secondly, they show God's power, including his power at the right time to sweep away all evil and wrongdoing. Though we may not live to see a prophecy fulfilled, we can be sure that God, who is not constrained by time, will bring it to fulfillment. No plan of God has ever failed. I'll say that again. No plan of God has ever failed. But while we wait, we've got jobs to be doing, haven't we, as we've just been hearing. In Peter's words, we should try to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. We might struggle to do this at times, but our loving Father is ever ready to respond to our requests for help. And in Jesus' words, we should try to play our part in the commission he gave us, to spread the gospel to unbelievers and show them God's love in action. and we can ask for God's help in that too. May the Holy Spirit be with us as we try to live the kingdom life. Amen.